Today I'm going to talk to y'all about some of the names of God the Son. It's a little bit different because in my study this past week, I came across some information that really impressed me about God, God's Son. I don't know how far we'll get in discussing the names of God the Son, but we want to at least deal with a number of them because the names of God the Son are very important. First of all, let me say this. Jesus Christ is God. He's as much God as God is God. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And anybody you're listening to, be it preacher or some person that does not think Jesus is God, don't listen to him anymore. Because they're misinformed. They're deceived. And you're not going to be able to straighten them out. So, the first name I want to talk about today, as we think about the names of God the Son. Did you get that? And the first name is, of course, the most familiar name that we usually going around call in sometime under our breath because we need him is Jesus. Amen? We're familiar with that name, aren't we? Jesus, the name found in the Gospels around 600 times in the Gospels. That means the first four books of the New Testament. 600 times the name Jesus. I believe God's trying to get us to know about Jesus. Amen? And in the rest of the New Testament, his name is mentioned 70 times. So that's over 670 times in the New Testament the name Jesus is found. In Acts, there's an elevation or an uplifting of the term Jesus to a higher plane by the linking of his earthly name with the titles that honor him. For example, Acts 2:36 states it this way, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." You see how his name was elevated? Jesus is the primary name before his death and his burial and his resurrection. That's what his primary name is known as. Jesus is his personal name. It is his earthly name, the name under which he was born, he lived and died. It is the name of his humiliation, of suffering and sorrow. His humiliation talks about all the things he went through in this life, how he was rejected, how he suffered in order to pay for our sin. Jesus is the name under which he suffered humiliation. It's the name of the one who humbled himself. Jesus Christ came from heaven and humbled himself to being a person like me and you, except without sin. It's hard to wrap your arms around that, but it's true. The name Jesus was not uncommon. There were many who were named Jesus in his day. You'll meet people today, especially Mexicans, right? Yes. Named Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form for the Hebrew word Joshua, and both mean Jehovah, our Savior. The name Jesus was the one which was nailed over his cross. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. The next name we want to talk about of God the Son is the name Christ. Christ. Christ is found in the Gospels 50 times and 250 times in the New Testament. Let me say that again because I want you to get it, because the way it's placed there is significant. Christ is found in the Gospels, that's the first four books, 50 times. But in the rest of the New Testament, 250 times. Christ is an official name which points to the fact that he was and is the anointed one of Israel. The name Christ means the anointed one. He's God's anointed one. The main distinction in the names is that Jesus was used before the cross, and Christ was used after the cross. Jesus is the name that much of the world believes in, while it is the Christ that believers place their trust in. Jesus is the name of the humanity of God, while Christ is the name of God the Son's exaltation. Amen? So you see the difference and the meaning and the reasoning that he's named Jesus, and then he's exalted to being Christ, the anointed one. And then we want to look at another name for God the Son, Messiah. Boy, the Jews loved that word, didn't they? They looked forward to their Messiah that was promised that would come. The Hebrew term for the anointed one is Messiah. In Genesis 3:15 is the first mention of this one who would come and defeat Satan. And boy, has the Jews looked for him to come. And when he came, they missed him. Isn't that sad? You know, there's a lot of people today, they know about Jesus, they know he's the Savior, but they don't have time for him, and they're going to miss him. They're going to miss him, and they knew and believed he was Jesus, the Savior. Yet, for other reasons, they've decided he's not for me today. The Old Testament has always looked forward to the Anointed One. And now the New Testament reflects back upon the Anointed One that came and completed the work that first appeared, that was required. We still look forward to the second appeared when, which will tie all the plans of God for mankind together, because Christ has came as the Messiah. He's gone back to heaven. He has promised, even as he departed to go to heaven, when he was caught up in a cloud, the word was, he'll come back the same way to receive us unto himself. And we today look for the Lord to call us out of this world. It can happen at any second. We could be gone. And I spend a lot of my time thinking about it, Brother Chavis. I do. I lay in the bed at night thinking about, suddenly, I could be in heaven. Folks, did y'all know we're going to suddenly be in heaven one day? It's going to be different in heaven. And I try to visualize, how are we going to get to see all the people we used to know down here, amen? And have time with the Lord. Folks, well, we got forever, amen? We're going to have forever, amen? The fourth word I want to talk with you about Christ, or about God the Son, is the fact that He's the Lord. What do y'all think the Lord means? The term. It means He's the Lord, doesn't it? The New Testament equivalent of the Hebrew term is Adonai, our master. This is the term for Christ is deity. Christ is deity. What does that mean, deity? It means He's God. As we study the Lord Jesus, we will see that He truly was Almighty God come in the flesh, and that this term is appropriate for Him. And it still requires faith to believe Christ is God in human flesh. It takes faith to believe that. This preacher believes it. This preacher not only believes it, I know it. Amen. Let me tell you something. The word Lord, get this now, don't miss this. The word Lord is found in our Bible 6,749 times. That's the Old and the New Testament. 6,749 times. And nearly about all of those times have to do with God or Jesus. You see, when it's talking about the Lord in the Old Testament, it's talking about Jesus as much as it is in the New Testament. Because He's the Lord in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Amen? He's God in either place. Most of these times it speaks of God Almighty or of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, the word Lord. In the Old Testament, Jesus appears as the angel of the Lord, who was God sometimes. We saw that several times in the Old Testament. Jesus was the angel of the Lord. Let's look at another name for God the Son. Jesus Christ. Uh-oh, we put two words together. I want you to notice something about this, what I just said. We said, Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to talk about Christ Jesus. And there's a reason for the difference. And we need to see that reason. Jesus Christ, the combination sets forth His humanity before His exaltation. First, He was human. Jesus, living among men. But when He died on the cross and was resurrected, He was exalted, and He's the resurrected Christ. Amen? So we call Him Jesus Christ. This combination is found 189 times in the New Testament. Jesus Christ. He was once humiliated. The fact that Jesus is His earthly name should lead us to desire to be like Jesus in our everyday life. And you know what the gold of the New Testament teaching is? That every believer become like Jesus. And you know what's going to eventually happen to every one of you that believe in Jesus Christ? You will one day be like Jesus. That is, without sin. Won't that be something? We're going to be just like Him one day. He certainly set forth a prime example for us to follow in His own humility. In fact, that is the teaching of the New Testament we are to follow. We are to becoming, growing in grace like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is why we come to church. This is why we go to prayer meeting. Amen? Why? To learn about how to become like the Lord. How to control my flesh. How to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And apart from the Word of God, you will not succeed. And I will not. You will not. Now, we just talked about Jesus Christ. Amen? His humanity before His exaltation. Now, the Bible also says another name for God the Son is Christ Jesus. Just invert that. This arrangement of the term should lead the believer to realize that he is now exalted and that he was once humiliated. And you know, I think about this a lot. Christ came into this world and he lived 33 and a half years. I don't know what age he realized that he was to be a sacrifice for sins. I don't know all of that mystery. And no one else does. But I often wondered how much he thought about all the suffering he was going to have to go through. You know, you got a dentist appointment, you got a bad tooth, and you know it's going to be a week or 2 weeks before you see the dentist, and you dread it, amen? You dread that experience? Think about Christ thinking about the suffering he had to go through. And we know how he felt about that in the garden when he was praying to the Father and his sweat was like blots of blood dripping when he said, Father, is there any other way? There was no other way. There was no other way. So Christ Jesus, this arrangement of the term should lead us to realize that he is now exalted and that he was once humiliated. In other words, he has gone to the cross. He's paid the sin debt. He's gone into death. He has been raised gloriously. He's alive forevermore. And he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? He is Christ Jesus, exalted, who once was humiliated because he was made sin for me and for you. Hebrews 12:2. Listen to this verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Right now, if we could pull back the curtain and look into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God would be Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. This term is found 58 times in the New Testament, and it's never in the Gospels. Why was it never in the Gospel? Because he hadn't been exalted in the Gospel. In the Gospels, he has been humiliated, rejected. to constantly use his earthly name, Jesus, and to constantly dwell on his humiliation seems to be a great disgrace to who he really and truly is today. Christ Jesus is the very Son of God and always has been, but for 30-something years of his life, he walked as he walked in the world that he might provide for us the salvation that his love brought down to us. Christ had no intention of remaining in that humiliation for the rest of that time. So from now throughout eternity, he is the exalted Christ who once was humiliated because of our sin. But that is past. That is history now. And we have a Savior, praise God. And we can love him and serve him, and one day, because of what he has accomplished, we can live with him throughout eternity, church. Amen. Now, there's another wonderful term that we find as God the Son. He is known as the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the fullest title given to the Lord and should be considered for usage in this day, in which many are concentrating only on his earthly Jesus ministry. Ephesians 1:3, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ, what a declaration was made when we use this term. We realize and admit to his humiliation, his deity, his lordship of the one that gave his life for our sin. What a title, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." By faith, we have been justified. That meant, and I, Brother Johnny and I prepared two TV programs yesterday on justification. And as I've said many times to you, the word justification is a big Bible word. But it means simply this: when a person accepts Jesus as their Savior, you are before God as if you never, ever sinned. Amen? Amen? What a glorious word. And God justifies us himself when by faith we accept Christ as our Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Yes, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote here, "Therefore, being justified by faith," just by believing, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, here's another title of God the Son. Jesus said on one occasion, or several occasions rather, "I am." Exodus 3:13 and 14 mentions this term in the Old Testament. "I am that I am." Jesus mentions that he is the I am in John 18:7-8. "Then asked he them again," when they came out to arrest him in the garden, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way." So Jesus told those that came to arrest him, "I am. I am the one you're looking for." What a bold declaration. And no wonder why the Jews were out to kill him. He was laying claim to being the God of Abraham and Moses. Him, the carpenter from Galilee, to them this was absurd that he was God. And that's the very reason he was put to death, because of this very claim that he claimed to be equal with God. The term "I am that I am" depicts one of the attributes of God in that he is conscious of who and what he is. This is called the self-consciousness of God. Christ was most certainly conscious of the fact that he was God in the flesh. John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father?" In other words, Jesus Christ knew who he was, brother. He knew who he was. And he let it be known he was God. And yet the Jews couldn't handle that. And they had him crucified. You know, one day they're going to stand before the one that's God. Amen? Amen. They're going to stand before the one that's God. How sad that's going to be when that takes place. What an awesome truth. Jesus Christ is the Almighty in a human body. Another term that we'll discuss is the fact that he is the Son of God. Sounds contradictory, doesn't it? But it's still true. I tell you what, folks, the virgin birth, the conception. Now, you talk about a miracle. You talk about a mystery also, to some degree. In Luke 1:35, the Bible says, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee," that is, upon Mary, "and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Mary, who was unmarried, who never knew a man, the Holy Spirit came upon her, and in her womb she conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And she was with child by the Holy Ghost. The Father of Jesus would be God himself. Christ is no mere man, as many of the isms and cults of our day suggest, but he is God in God's complete form. He is the Son of God as well as the Son of Man, which we will see. He is as much God as if he had never been man, and he is as much man as if he had never been God. It is a good description of the total deity and the total humanity of Christ in the flesh. And one of the great scriptures in the Bible is in the book of Philippians, that I love to read this passage in the second chapter, beginning at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," listen to that, he was in the form of God before he became man, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 10. Jesus Christ is God the Son. And one day every person that's ever lived will bow down to him. Think about all those people in China, in Russia, in the Arab nations that hate our Savior, our God. One day they're going to bow down to him and acknowledge him. Another name of God the Son is the Son of Man. Jesus was known, and it's his favorite term, it seems, that he was the Son of Man. This was the title that the Lord used of himself. It's of interest to note how people like to be identified. Son of Man seems to be the preferred name of Jesus. Knowing the Lord and how he lived and how much he loved us identified him very closely with those that he came to save. The Bible says in Luke 9:58, Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Think about Jesus. He owns everything. He owns everything. You don't own anything. You're just a steward of what is his. And we got to give an account for how we use everything he's let us have. Boy, that's going to be a day. Hey, Jesus owns everything. And yet, when he came into this world, he didn't even have, in his ministry, he didn't even have a bed to lay down on. He slept out under the stars. He became poor. The Bible says so you could be rich. If you'll accept him. If you'll accept him, you'll be rich. If you've accepted Christ, you're already rich. You're already rich. This is a title for the kingdom which he's offering to the Jewish people. The title the Son of Man is found 88 times in the New Testament, once in Acts, once in Hebrews, twice in Revelation, and 84 times in the Gospels. The term is not found in any of the epistles. The epistles concern the church, not the coming kingdom or the millennium. You see, the church is going to be the bride of Christ, but the Jewish people will have to do with the millennium, the thousand reign of Christ on earth, in which we'll come back to reign with the Lord. Here's one of my favorite uses of that term of the Son of Man. I love this verse. Matthew 18:11. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven, became a man, to save us that was lost. Isn't that precious? Isn't that really precious? He saw our lost condition, and he personally came himself to save us. It don't get any better. It really don't. And then here's one of my favorite titles of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. He's known as the Savior. The Savior. Probably one of the most meaningful names, the Savior. A very simple term that has so many ramifications for the lost as well as the saved people. It is Christ that came to save man. That's why he came. He came to save us, folks. It is Christ that provided access to God. We can't even know God without Christ, the Savior. People can't go to God and talk to God and get through to God. You got to accept the Savior. He's the mediator between God and man. Because God is so holy, God dwelleth in light. He's unapproachable because man is such a sinful creature. But Jesus Christ came as a person and paid our sin debt to be a mediator between us and holy God. Because a man separated us from God in Adam, it would take a man to reconcile us back to God in Jesus Christ, folks. In Jesus Christ. It is Christ that allows us into God's presence when you pray. Unless you believe in Jesus, you can't talk to God and Him hear you. Is of interest that in Luke 2:11, the Savior is used in relation to the terms Christ and Lord. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Oh, think about those shepherds out on those Judean hills that night when they appeared to those lowly shepherds to announce the birth of the Savior. Think what it means to us today. A Savior has been born. But that Savior has also lived, and He's died on a cross for our sins and paid for our sins, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's known as the Son of Abraham. Matthew 1:1 shows a direct link between the father of the Jews, Abraham, and the Lord Jesus, via the king of Israel, David himself. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the son of Abraham, Matthew 1:1 states. Abraham was an important person among the Jewish people. They were proud people, known as descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those Jewish people. Therefore, the genealogy of Christ in Matthew was very important to the Jewish mind. It's a bold declaration that this Jesus was the descendant for whom all of Israel had been waiting. They had been waiting for thousands of years for Him to come. They were looking for Him. And yet how tragic, when He came, He was rejected. He didn't come the way they wanted Him to come. The Bible says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Let me tell you, there's no other Savior that man can turn to. There's only one Savior. Makes no difference what man believes. It's what the Bible says. And then quickly, let me talk about another God, the Son, and that is the Word. Oh, I like this one. In John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Boy, you read that and think about that expression. In this great passage of John, we see all the glory and the preexistence of Jesus Christ. He has always been. He will always be with the Father, and He has always been God. Our Savior has always existed. There's never been a time He didn't exist. He will always exist. There was a time you didn't exist. I didn't exist. But now we're going to always exist. But that's not true with Christ. He's always existed. He always will exist. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word that always was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1 and verse 14. Praise God. In the greatness and grace of God, God sent forth His Son into this world because I needed a Savior and you needed a Savior. And there was no other hope for us unless someone paid for our sin and made us acceptable to God. And folks, only the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross can make anyone acceptable to God. That's why He had to become a man. A man caused our fall, Adam. We were all in Adam. We all came from Adam. Adam could only produce sinners. But Jesus Christ came, and His holy blood, sinless blood, was spilled on Calvary. And God determined that those who will accept my Son, my darling Son, as their Savior, I'll pardon their sins. I'll bring you to live in my presence for eternity, where there'll not be any more sin. There will not be any more evil. There will not be any more death. God did it by sending forth His only Son. God only has one Son that was conceived in the womb of Mary, who would be the Savior of the world, that whosoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life. I've shared with you today some of the titles of the names of God the Son. There are others, but these are ones that stand out to us. Folks, let's remember, Jesus was humiliated because of our sin. But Christ has been exalted because He has conquered death. And He's alive forever. And He's going to come back and receive every one of us that have trusted in Him and what He did for us on the cross. May God speak to hearts and challenge your hearts to love Him and serve Him and begin to grow in grace to be like Him. Because one day we all are. Throughout eternity. Father, thank You for allowing me this time to share these names of God the Son, to remind us of who He is, what He did. Lord, Lord, just help us to grow to be the people that You are. And Lord, help us to bring honor and glory to Your great and holy name. Help us to be a blessing to other people as we journey along life's journey. And thank You for all Your mercies upon us. And Lord, even today we look for our Savior to call us to be with Him. And we know one day that's going to take place. May God speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we have worship here today, maybe you want to come to the altar just to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord that all the sufferings he went through for you. For you. He didn't have to do it. But he chose to do it because of his great love for us. The cross shows how much we're loved by God, folks.